Hey Michelle.
Hey, Pat.
Well, we're here. The end of a journey, baby.
It's been a roller coaster. The end has finally come for me. Goodbye. I must go back to my planet.
The Return of the King trilogy or whatever. The Darth Vader returns.
The final chapter. The Darth Vader returns. The evil emperor is coming back.
You guys don't know what we're talking about. This is Michelle's last episode.
Oh man, I know everyone's heartbroken.
They're like,
No.
bring her back. Bring back.
The people do not want me anymore. They want Jenny back. They
No,
are like,
yeah.
get this lady out of here. We are done. We've given her enough time.
Just want me. As long as I'm here, we're okay.
It's true. The one constant in this
They're just like, when's Spider-Man 3 coming out? When's Point Break 2?
Give the people what they want, Pat. You're the
The perpetually in progress Spider-Man 3.
It's like the only thing I can think of is gosh, like George R.R. Martin never finishing his book. You know, it's like
Yes.
Patrick recording Spider-Man 3. When will it happen? Will it happen? We don't know. We can only hope.
Probably never. No, I'm kidding. What's going
Yeah.
on? Anything to cover this week?
Well, I wanted to bring up just on behalf of the pod. I know that you guys had talked about Kate Middleton before, so just wanted to send her the well wishes from the Rose Squad Does and Turtle Planet Productions family. Just wish her well, hope she's healing,
Yeah.
and yeah, just sending our best thoughts to her for a speedy
Wow.
recovery. And
I'm so
yeah.
ashamed of us. Me and Jenny fell into the mob, not the mob, I don't know, mob mentality or the group, and we're like, no.
It was, you know, it was a tricky time. There was, you know, it's all good. It's all good. I think you guys did cover it with a lot of compassion. I thought you guys did send her well wishes at the time. You know, there was humor, but it wasn't in bad taste, I didn't think. So, you know, you guys did it. You did well. And, you know, it was what everyone was talking about, but and like I said, you guys covered it with a lot of heart. And yeah, you know, I think we can just wish her well from here and
Yeah, wish
you
her
know,
well.
hope for the best. Yeah. And I also wanted to plug your guys's email, roastsquaddoes@gmail.com, to make sure people know about it. Send in questions, comments. Just make sure we plug that.
Wow, yeah.
Because
Good. I think we had some questions, but I guess we'll have to wait for Jenny to get back. I
I
forget.
think, well, yes, I think Jenny will have the yeah, I think she's deserves the right to respond to the fans. So I'll leave that to you and
Yeah.
her you know, the consistent host, the longtime host, to get into
Yes.
it.
Well, maybe we'll have you back, and people, if they want to know anything about you,
Yeah, ask away. I'm an open book.
we can get a short little blurb from you or something, or you can join us for any other episodes you want.
I'd love to. Anytime I'm free. Let me know. I'll be there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have anything to really cover this week. Been wanting tacos all day. It's Cinco de Mayo. I'm like.
Right.
I'm like, do I really need to eat Mexican food because of the day of the week or the holiday? I'm like, yes.
Yes, I have some to meat for tacos marinating right now. I'm like, what am I gonna make for dinner? Oh, it's Cinco de Mayo, Mexican tacos.
I know where I'm going after this episode's over.
Where are you
To
gonna go?
your place.
Where are you
Tacos.
gonna
Where are
go?
you? I don't know. Where?
Come on over, we got extra. I was gonna be like Taco Bell, Chipotle.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah, you wanna get into it?
Yeah, let's do it. Three, should we do our intro?
Let's do it.
Three, two, one. Do do
Do
do
do
do
do do do do
do
do
do
do
do do do do
do
do
do
do.
do do do.
Roast
Roast
squad
squad
assemble.
assemble.
Does.
Does
Riverdale,
Riverdale.
episode 30, The Noose Titan. I think that's what it's called.
I think so.
Which, again, I don't know what it's a reference to, but do you have any ideas?
No idea.
I think it kind of speaks for
It's very,
itself.
I was gonna say, it's very literal, so I don't think there's not a lot of room for interpretation there.
It's like, hey, what kind of noose are they talking about?
Hmm.
All right. So this week on Riverdale, as the race for the mayor heats up, Riverdale has its own student council elections. Archie learns more about Hiram's mobster associates who've come to Riverdale to stir up trouble. Meanwhile, things take a dangerous turn for the Coopers as two get unexpected guests show up. Finally, Tony, Veronica, and Josie team up to solve the shit mystery of Cheryl.
A lot going on.
Yeah, really. That got me tongue-tied.
I think you hit all the points.
So we start with the Jughead voiceover. Welcome to the Sisters of Quiet Mercy, the home for the troubled youth, where Cheryl finds herself in a lot more trouble than usual. So we see this like old crone walking down the hallway, and she says, like, it's time, girly. So she takes her into like what looks like a prison movie theater kind of thing with like a projector reel. We have a film playing, and it's called like Boys and Girls Beware. So it's kind of funny because we got this movie that's played by their current Riverdale characters, but kind of in an old-timey style. So it's like Kevin and Moose inside this old-timey movie. And it's like your typical kind of fear-mongering movie. It's like, well, look at these all-American boys. What are they gonna get up to? And basically it leads to them like walking along the river. They're like, hey, why don't we want to go? Would you want to go skinny dipping? Like, or how about we go swimming? Oh, I don't have my suit. Well, that doesn't matter. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So it's just, this is like a gay conversion therapy camp, you guys. So they're trying to like scare them with movies. I don't know if you have, do you have anything to say about that?
No, yeah,
Yeah.
it's you summed it up well.
So now we skip to another form of torture. And I'm like, I'll take the conversion therapy over this. I'm kidding, of course, but it's a high school debate run by Alice. So this is like all the kids running for student body president. So it's Archie, Veronica versus Jughead and Betty versus Reggie and Josie. And for some reason, like the whole town has showed up for this, like
The
for this
whole
high
town,
school.
the auditorium is packed.
Yeah. Like parents, not just people from the school.
Oh. Well, my question was, when did Archie and Ronnie decide to run together? That came out of the blue for me.
I think,
I
yeah.
don't think, yeah, it was like for sure Jughead and Betty, and then they just kind of tried to sweep this, like get this one pie out. So, like, wait a minute, that was never a discussion about them running together. It doesn't matter,
I do
but
think
I
we
just thought that
missed,
was,
yeah.
yeah.
Probably ran out of time.
Right.
So we get the audience, they're asking questions to the debaters, and like Sweet Pea is like, well, I'm concerned about how the Southside High students are being treated. Like, what are you gonna do about that? And Jughead is just like, yes, or something like that. He's like, oh, I'm fully focused on the Southsiders getting integrated. Who cares? Next question. Midge asks Archie and Veronica, it's like, well, how are you two going to work together as president and co-president when your parents are running against each other for mayor? And they're like, look, don't worry. Like, we decided to leave everything of the campaign out of school, blah, blah, blah. Veronica makes some kind of joke. She's like, politics are never discussed at the table, which makes the whole town erupt into laughter.
Yeah,
It's like the least funny joke.
I know. And it's a very like, it's something that like 30 plus year old married couples would say, like, oh, we don't discuss politics at the, I think she says cafeteria table or the lunchroom or something.
Yeah.
And it's just very like, ugh, like, ugh, eye roll.
Yeah. But Archie is like, don't worry about that. Me and Ronnie are on the same page about everything, including about her parents building the prison. And we see like it's pretty awkward for like because Archie's parents are in the audience and they're like, oh, okay, this is awkward. Because remember, Fred is running for mayor to stop the prison from being built. Anyway, Veronica's like, look, we're gonna do extracurriculars, whatever that means. When Josie cuts in, it's like, yeah, but we'll get results. And Reggie's like, because we're chill. I'm like, these losers. And the crowd like loses it for some reason. It's just like a very dumb scene.
Yeah.
So the debate wraps up, and Betty's like, okay, Jughead, we need to get out of here. We need to go. Like, I don't want to talk to my mom about how I moved out and I'm living in your fart trailer now.
So many farts.
But Jug's like, shouldn't we be going around like, hobnobbling or slobbing, nobbing or something, whatever that is, slobbing some
Slobbing
now, shaking hands, greasing elbows. So Alice chases after them, but she finds the next best target. She corners FP, and she's like, you should be ashamed of yourself letting my daughter live in sin in your fart trailer, doing God knows what. FP's like, look, you're telling me I hate this more than anybody. Like, me and Jug are sleeping on the pullout. Like, well, your daughter gets my room, farting it up.
What have you been feeding her?
Oh God.
So many farts.
Well, this impresses Alice actually, because she's like, "Oh, you and Jughead are sleeping on the couch and like giving my daughter the room." Like she's like,
Right.
"Ooh, do you have a baby?"
Do you notice? Did you see how her back is against the wall, and he's got his arm
Ooh.
like around, not around her, but like kind of pressed against the wall, like keeping her there. It's a very, there's a lot of tension between the two.
Ooh,
Yeah.
swoon. And did we find this out last week that it's like Chick was not, or Hal was not Chick's father, so we don't know who Chick's father is, and they were wondering about FP.
Right.
Ooh.
That's what I wrote. I was like, ooh, Allison FP.
Well, so FP is like talking to her, and he's like, "Look, Alice, like you need to sort this out with Betty. Like this is coming from somebody whose son chose being homeless over living with him. Like, make it up to her before it's too late." And then like elsewhere we see the lodges and the Andrews facing off, and they're like, "Well, all of Riverdale's a buzz about, Fred running against Hermione." And Fred's like, "Well, I've lived here my whole life, I'm not some fancy New York person. I've never been to prison. I'm the best man for the job." And Mary like points out, they're like, "Look, we're still waiting to get released from our contracts with you. Like, we don't want to work with Lodge Industries on the prison project anymore." And Hermione's like, "Well, we're still waiting for you to sign that NDA." And Archie,
I
like the
know.
this dolt's like, "Why can't everyone just be nice and like go get ice cream? Why is everyone mad at each other?"
It's like, let the grown-ups talk, Archie.
Like,
Like,
what are they arguing
don't.
over? Why are they mad?
Right. Does not get it.
He's like,
Can't
"Can we
get it
just
through his thick
sign?
skull.
Everyone sign what they're supposed to sign." I'm like, this is a little messy.
Yeah, very.
Anyway, like later. The Lodges and Archie's, they go home and they're greeted by Andre and Adams, like they're two capos. And I guess we learn that, oh, in the lobby, there's also Lenny Kowalski and Carl Martin, the two bosses. The two, like, they're the two gangsters. Remember, Papa Poutine was there in one episode. They're like, "Hey, can we speak to you privately?" So Agent Adams takes Veronica and Hermione, and Archie goes with, oh, wait, I've, what happened? Sorry.
No, I think no.
Archie
Well,
comes
you can,
with.
yeah. He stays with Hiram, and you can tell Hiram is like very uncomfortable. Like he
Right.
knows this is bad news. He's very worried, so he's like, "No, it's fine. We're just gonna have a friendly chat in the
Yeah.
lobby with these two gangsters."
Oh, I think Archie, I think he sends him away, and then Archie's like, he's like, "Are you sure you don't want me to come with? Like, I can punch, like, I was like, right, I can punch bugs really hard."
I'm super strong.
He's like,
Well,
no.
I thought it was funny, and we made him. We may have. It sounds like we met these characters previously, but I was like, "There's no way that Lenny and Carl are by accident." Like, that's a complete Simpsons reference. That has to be. There's no way. They're like, "Oh, this is Lenny and Carl." I'm like, "Oh, come on." There's
Yeah.
someone's a Simpsons fan in the writer's room.
I noticed that too, because I was writing my notes. I'm like, Lenny and Carl. I'm like, wait, is that their names? And I look it up and I'm like, that is their names.
There
What?
is their names. And okay, so I was like, Kowalski, for some reason I thought it was a Shining reference. Like I was like, oh, it's the guy from The Shining, but it's from Kowalski's the last name of
The
the
monster from
guy, one of the Streetcar Named Desire, which I don't know if that has anything to do with this, but I just was like, oh, like kind of some cinematic references going on.
I was about to say the monster from Monsters, Inc., but is his name?
Oh, yes, you're right, actually. Yeah, it
I'm
works on
like,
multiple levels.
because he's a big scary monster with one eye. He's
Oh,
spooky.
maybe that's where the reference came from. It's not a Streetcar Named Desire,
No,
because I
I'm
was
sure
like,
you're right. Because this show loves like its old timey references and
yeah,
blah blah blah.
it's Marlon Brando's character in it, so yeah, it's probably that.
Not the monsters from Monsters.
Monsters, also a good
Okay.
movie.
So later, like the Andrews get home, and Mary Andrew is telling Archie, she's like, "Look, your dad's gonna be announcing his mayoral campaign officially, and like it'd be really great if you were there to support him. Like this whole campaign's based off of like a wholesome view of Riverdale, the town where you can grow up and raise a family." And I'm like, "Why is his ex-wife having this conversation about the son who's dating his arch rival?" When he announces this thing, like, is this really important? It's like, I need my ex-wife and my son who hates me behind me.
Right. We're a happy family.
And Archie's like, oh, why can't Daddy ask me himself to join him? And they're like, oh, he's just really proud. Like, he can't, he's Fred would not, does not want to do that. Well, anyway, Archie agrees to do it. And Mary's like, look, that's this is gonna mean a lot to everybody. Well, at the Coopers, we see that the Coopers get home and Alice is like, oh, Chicky boy, it's time to come kiss mama. Like, it, I don't know.
Yeah. She's like, "Do you want a pizza?" I'm like, "What time is it? It seems like it's late.
Yeah.
Too late to order our pizza."
But Chick is like, Mommy, you need to come see this. And he's sitting in front of the TV, like straight out of like The Shining or The
Yeah.
Ring or whatever. Like,
Kneeling in front of it, like right in front of it. It's
like,
very creepy. Yeah.
as like the radioactive rays are like blasting him.
Yes.
Well, anyway, on the TV, we see a car being pulled out of a swamp. It is the
Uh-oh.
car of the shady man that they killed.
Alice's face is like, fuck.
Yeah, but Alice like runs, she calls FP and she's like, they found it, FP. That super obvious car that we pushed in like the super tiny pond.
I wrote that down because you guys brought it up when they did it. Like, they put it in this shallow pond, like, not even far away from town. Then they found it. Oh, surprise, big surprise that it was found immediately.
I think I said it then, but it's like, yeah, you know, it probably doesn't go like what do you think? It's like, well, dump it in this pond, and then you push it in there, and it's like half out, and you're like, oh, now
Right.
it's stuck in the mud, and
Yes.
fuck.
Exactly.
What
It
are
doesn't just
we?
sink to the bottom. Yeah, it just gets stuck. Yeah, totally.
Well, anyway, that's their intro right there.
Yeah.
Riverdale.
Riverdale.
So we cut, and like the gang has all got together, like the Coopers and the Joneses, and Jughead is just like, fuck. He's like, you know, maybe we should have taken that car outside of town or like to another state. Like, who could have known that Junkhead Steve likes to drag for cars in the most obvious places, like the swamp? And they're like, you know, it's just our Jones luck. And FP is like, you know, where the fuck is he's like, where is Chick in all this? Like, this is all
Right.
Chick's fault. And they're like, maybe that little baby man isn't going to be the most useful person to be around right now. And they're like, yeah, probably true. Well, anyway, Jug's like, you know, well, at least we wiped off our prints when we pushed the car in the lake. And they're like, well, you wore gloves, right? And they're like, yeah, totally.
Yes.
Definitely we're wearing gloves. Well, just then, Sheriff Keller walks in and FP's like, look, we all need to like shut the fuck up. STFU, nobody say a damn word. Like, we know nothing if anybody asks.
Yeah, let's stop having this really loud conversation in the middle of Pops about this car from the guy that
Exactly.
we killed and has now been found. Shut up, shut up.
Well, Alice wants to take advantage of the situation. She's like, well, Betty, maybe it's time you come home, like, with all this trouble. But Betty is not having any of that. And FP is like, shut up, this isn't important. Like, okay. He's like, okay, if anything happens, we all like we, if we any of us get arrested, anything like that, we're all quiet, like compadre, like do nothing. Like it if it all means nothing. And I'm like, uh-oh, you don't know these idiots.
They're already talking. They're already figuring. Yeah, they're already gonna be blabbering around town.
So back at Hiram's study, we see him filling Archie and about like his visit with his associates the other night. And you know, he's like, look, this mayoral campaign is making them a little bit nervous. Like, men in our line of business don't like attention. So Hiram asks Archie, he's like, look, can you keep an eye on Veronica? Like, this evening, I'm going to meet the guys at a restaurant. And Archie's like, oh, that sounds fun. Can I come and hang out? Like, with the boys? And Hiram's like, yeah, I mean, he would make a good shield, like a human shield. So you're in.
Come on, Red.
So now we go back to like the Serpent Slayer and they're wait, hang on. Now I'm confused. Sorry, I wrote these like a week ago.
I know. I'm like, we had some scheduling conflicts, so we didn't record right away as we usually do. Yeah, they're talking to Jughead, right? The Serpents about,
Like, I thought you were on our side, but you're acting all like smart and oh no. So it's like the serpents are hanging out in school and they're all complaining to Jughead about his running for president. They're like, or something. They're like, you know, you were supposed to be there to represent the South Side and now you're acting all smart and stuff. And Jug's like, look, we need to get like more than just the serpents to vote for us for president to win. Like, it's very basic math.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We can't just rely on all six of you to vote for me.
He's like, look, whoever gets elected will be on the school board and they'll gain access to like more money and they can't silence us, blah, blah, blah. But like Fangs and Sweet Pea, they don't trust Jug because he's running with Betty. And they're like, oh. And Betty's like, hey, I'm cool. Like, I'm one of the serpents, right? Like, there I dance on the stripper pole and did the serpent dance. And I think I'm like, I just wrote, and I help and stuff. Like, I help find Pickens' head and. I had to lie in one time in court.
Yeah, she has done a lot, it seems like. And they're just like, well, what they're really mad about is her mom, Alice.
Right.
Her reputation precedes her because, and I didn't realize this or think about it, but it kind of seemed like it was out of left field. But they're saying that Alice has been writing bad stuff about the serpents on the South Side for years. She's been coming for them. Like, why should we trust Betty when her mom's basically serpent enemy number one? So to me, this all seemed like it was completely out of left field because I thought they were all fine. And they're like, no, we hate you. I was like, oh, okay, I guess that's a thing now.
I know. I was
But
like, this is the most, like, I wrote, this is the most dumb, contrived plot. Like, they needed to find
yes.
some reason for the serpents to be mad at
Right.
Jughead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it felt
Like,
very forced, very weird. I was just like, what? Like, okay,
like
I guess
your
we're mad at you now.
girlfriend's mom, so we're not voting for you now? Like, what the? Why are they angry? They got, this is all in my notes.
Why are they angry? What?
And so anyway, we cut to like the boys' locker room where things are getting a little steamy. And so like, yeah, Reggie's like, hey, redhead, let's have a arm wrestling competition to determine who's alpha male and gets like the bulldog support. Yeah, I'm like, whoever wins, all the football players are gonna vote for them, I guess. And I'm like, now I'm watching, I was watching this in slow motion. So I'm like, now I'm watching an arm wrestling in slow-mo and then which is just like it's not even funny anymore. Like, ew. So it's like this kind of intense like face off, and all the boys are like,
It's just such like a macho male
yeah.
stereotypical thing they're trying to convey. Like, let's settle this by arm wrestling.
Yeah, and Reggie's like, you know, you're gonna lose, aren't you? Just like your dad, which gives him the strength to win.
I was like, Archie, you idiot. Your mouth keeps getting you in trouble. It's why Ronnie punched you the last episode. And Archie just uses it as motivation, extra motivation
Yeah.
to beat you.
He's like, if you talk bad about my daddy again, I'll break your arm. Well, now we cut to chew practice where Tony has pulled Josie and Veronica aside and she's like, you know, like they're like, what do you mean Cheryl's missing or whatever? They're filling Tony told them, they're like, I don't know where Cheryl is. They're like, what do you mean she's missing? She's right over there. They're like, no, that's like a blow up doll, Veronica, or like a goldfish. I got her.
I wasn't expecting that.
No, that's not Cheryl. And they're like, yeah, do you remember that like sleepover like 2 days ago where she said she was in danger and went missing like the next day? Isn't that all kind of weird? And they're like, oh yeah, that did happen.
Oh, my whole thought this whole time was like, does no one notice Cheryl's missing? Does anyone care?
Yeah.
She just had this sleepover where she said that she thought people were trying to get her, and then all of a sudden she's not at school.
Like, oh,
But
it's been kind of peaceful here, I guess.
I guess they had other things going on, so they had elections campaigning to do.
And she's like, yeah, so Tony says, you know, I went over to their house and her mother said she got sent off to like a boarding school in Switzerland. But Tony's not convinced, like, or something, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, Veronica, like, of course, knows all the boarding schools in Switzerland. So she's like, oh, it couldn't be like Monsieur Dela Cruz.
I wrote the same thing. I'm like, of course, Ronnie knows the only girls' boarding school in Switzerland.
Yeah, and they're like, also, if she was away, she'd be posting selfies like every hour, and like that was her social media is dead. And they're like, well, no, yeah, she's dead for
That's
sure. Like, she's
for
gone.
sure a sign.
So, you know, again, this they agree that they're like, okay, we'll help you out, Tony. We'll storm Thistle House. We'll find out what's going on. And we cut back to like the Sisters of Quiet Mercy, this whorehouse of old crones. they're coming into Cheryl's room and they're like, "Well, I think we found the source of your illness. Your grandmother used to confuse you and your brother Jason, didn't she?" And they're like, "Yeah, because she's like half blind." She's like, "It's also my mother's cuckoo bananas. My dad killed my brother and he was a drug boss. Like, there's a lot of my life is pretty screwed up." And she's like, Yes, many traumas. It's time for you to go undergo physical therapy until you listen." Yeah, that's that, I guess.
I like your Sisters of Quiet Mercy impression.
Yes.
Very,
I did like this old crone. She's like trying to come up with all these theories, and Cheryl's like, "Yeah." And then she's like, "Well, anyway."
Interesting.
So back we're like in the Godfather now. All of a sudden, we're like in an Italian restaurant. We got like that music, Italian music playing, and they're like, all the gangsters are like eating spaghetti and meatballs or something. And they're telling them again, they're like, "Look, your wife's campaign's putting us in the public eye." And I'm like, this is really a small town. Like, the small town mayor election's really grabbing everyone's attention, I guess.
Well, it's also, sorry, it just, I guess I have to say this. Isn't that kind of part of being crime bosses? Like getting in power politics? Like that seems like par for the course. It's
Yeah.
not that
Like
out of left
JFK was
field.
president.
Did you say when JFK was president?
Yeah. There wasn't he a gangster or something?
Probably had mob ties. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's very silly.
Anyway, Lenny and Carl, they're like, "Look, we want 25% of the prison profits." Hiram's like, "Huh, yeah, no." And they're like, well, I'm like, or I wrote, "Uh-oh, they don't like that." Well, so they remind him, they're like, "Hey, you're pretty alone out here. Your boys back in Montreal, they're working with us now." And he's like, "Who you got now standing behind you? Just like two guys and a zit-faced teenager." And I'm like, this makes Archie so mad. Archie like approaches the table and he's like, "You know what? Don't underestimate Hiram Lodge because he's really nice and cool. And for me, I beat up a teenager with two broken legs. Like, this is Nick St. Clair. And I also tattled on Papa Poutine, which got him killed. And I beat up this one hillbilly who Andre shot later. So don't underestimate Hiram." Like, real scary, Archie.
Well, at first I was like, oh, is Archie earning respect? And then they laughed in his face. I'm like, nope.
I'll say this again where it makes more sense. So Archie's like, "I beat up Nick St. Clair and I got Papa Poutine capped and I beat like effed up some hillbilly and I was just saying what happened to him." I was like, Nick St. Clair was hospital bound with broken legs and anyway, I'm like, this is not gonna end well. Yeah, then they just laugh in his face, like it's all serious, Archie, and they're like, "Who the hell is this guy? Like some teenager?" Well, anyway, they're like, "Hiram, you got some time to consider this whole thing." Well, back in the parking lot, Hiram's like, "You were a mad dog in there, Archie." And Archie's like, "I'm not Ar I'm Archie, not a puppy." But Hiram's like, "Look, if you're gonna threaten people, you gotta be able to like back it up. You have to be able to you have to want to do something about it." But Hiram, he's not really mad about Archie speaking up. He's like, "That was great. You're a good boy, Archie." I'm like, is he really he's really going with his dog theme, treating him like a dog. "You're a good boy, Archie." Well, back at the trailer, Betty and Jughead are talking about like, how do we get the serpent trust? She's like, "What do I have to do? Start wearing plaid and leather jackets and like get a snake tattoo?" And I'm like, I guess to be fair, Alice is serpent enemy number one, Jughead points out, so something, I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's I don't know how is it in this scene that it switches to them being like, we gotta investigate, like
Oh yeah, they're like, "Okay, we're backed into a corner, so let's just go back to what we know. Let's try to figure out the mystery." So they decide to go get back to the car and get to the bottom of it, which this is the exact opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. Keep in mind,
Laying low,
like just
not bringing
that.
any attention to themselves.
Yeah. So I guess they take Kevin out at Pops. And they're like, "Hey, we're writing an article about the swamp, I guess, and how people dump stuff there. So like, does your dad know anything about that car that they found?" So he's just like, "Oh yeah, actually that car was actually claimed by its owner." And they're like, "Owner, who is that? Is it somebody in Riverdale?" Well, no, it turns out the car was actually stolen. So they come back and tell their parents, and Alice is like rightfully pissed off. She's like, "You're putting us right in the crosshairs. Like, asking questions. She's like, don't do anything. It's pretty simple.
Right.
But Betty and Jug are like, yeah, but you know, we really, really wanted to know what was happening. So like, how does any of this help them out? Well, they learned from Trick that actually Dwayne, the drug dealer, stole the car from his girlfriend Darla, I think. Right. So the shady man stole the car from somebody else, so it wasn't his car. But they're like, okay, Chick, do you know anything about this woman? And he can't tell them any more information. But FP's like, I don't know. What is he's like, no way we could leave this alone. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they only like they do get they get a little bit of useful information that they like now know that the car's been claimed, the owner's alive, I guess, and it's this Darla character. But Alice is like really upset, obviously, as you've been saying, and like she's worried Hal's gonna find out and like come after her and then divorce. She's like, I'm gonna tear this trailer apart. And everyone is terrified of her and they believe her. And I don't know if they bring, I don't know if they put Chick down in this moment, but it's something they're kind of like something happens. Like you can see a shift in Chick's face, like, oh, I'm gonna do something about it. And we'll get there. But
Right.
yeah, there's, I mean, that's kind of it. Like it's just kind of they're mad that like they found out this information. Chick now knows it's Darla, and then like to be
Yeah.
continued, what happens there.
Yeah, I think FP is just saying, like, yeah, it's like, okay, like, there's no way they can know that we dumped this car. So again, let's just leave this alone. Let's stop doing
Yeah.
things. Let's stop putting ourselves in the like in the way of this whole thing.
Right.
Oh, so with this all done, Alice goes to Betty and she's like, look, Betty, you know. You need to come back. Like, come back home, please. She goes, well, not as long as Chick is still there. Like, it, and Chick's like, fine, screw it. Like, I'll move out. I'm done. Like, which is surprising. He's actually okay with that. But she's like, okay, great. When Chick's out, and she's like, oh, no, you don't. You're coming back right now. So she pulls her back. Anyway, we go back to the sisters, and Cheryl is being forced to drag around like giant sacks of flour or grain or something. Like, this is her punishment. Like, one of the nuns comes in. She's like, oh, like you have to put it in that corner, not that corner. So do it again. And I'm like, oh no, not the good old sack punishment. Like, uh-oh. And so
Always
we,
get some.
yeah, exactly. So we see all the girls and they're back at Thistle House and they're like, Penelope, where the hell is Cheryl? Like, what happened to her? And Penelope's like, I don't have to explain myself to a bunch of teenagers. Like, they're like, well, maybe we'll go to my sheriff dad or something. Or Josie says her mom is dating the sheriff. So Penelope's like, okay, well, if that's gonna happen, we actually had to send Cheryl away because she's a little psychotic. Like, we had to send her to a wellness institute. If you don't believe me, look at this. So she takes out like this drawing and hands it to Josie. And this is the same drawing from like episodes ago. You guys might not remember, but Josie had a stalker who got blamed on being Chuck, I think. Chuck, the football player. You know, someone like put like a pig's heart in her locker and was like writing her poems and drawing these like insane drawings of her. So we find out that the person actually doing that was Cheryl, which to be fair, that was a little bit crazy and psychotic. And I mean, like, Cheryl has been crazy like the whole time. Like, she did burn down the house with her mom inside and like belted her in half. But free Cheryl! Free Cheryl!
Well, the picture is of Cheryl and Josie. Like together, like their heads next to each other. Like it's a drawing that Cheryl did. So Josie
Yeah.
is
Freaked
fully
out.
freaked out. Yeah. And storms out of the house. I'll let you take it. But yeah, it's
Yeah.
definitely not innocent, I guess, in terms of Cheryl. Like she, it's not like she didn't do this stuff. Like she did do it. So
Yeah.
that's worrisome.
Yeah, and Josie's like, she's rightfully like, okay, I'm out. Like, you know, I love Cheryl, but like, this is a little too much for me. It's a pretty freaky. Yeah. Anyway, like, so now it's basically Tony and Veronica are alone figuring this out. So back at the Coopers, like, Betty goes up to Alice and she goes like, hey, I was wondering if you would sign this consent form. It's for me to get a tattoo, a serpent tattoo. And I'm like, I don't. Can you even get a tattoo if you're like underage, even if your parents approve of it? Like,
Oh yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's so she says it's so like it'd be like, oh no, it's just to get a tattoo. Like it's no big deal. It's like, what? No.
okay. And I'm like, yeah, anyway, she's like, I'll just find, you know, I don't know. Alice is pissed. She's like, "You picked a really
Right.
bad time to do all this." And she's like, "If you don't tell you, if you don't give me approval, I'm just going to find a place that does it anyway. Like, I don't care."
Yeah.
And Alice is like, "But you
Well,
just..."
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just gonna say, Betty, it's just occurring to me, Betty's taking this whole getting the serpents on her side a little far if she's thinking about getting a tattoo at 15, 16.
Yeah, and Alice was like, "Yeah, you can't just get one to like just get the to prove something to your boyfriend and like this gang."
Yeah.
And anyway, Chicks just comes running in and he's like, "Mommy, I was just trying to help." So he has like a woman following him, a woman with a little southern flair. Her name is Darla. The
Enter Darla, queen.
girlfriend of the shady man. Well, we go back to the Andrews household and Archie comes down and hears Jughead's voice, and him and Fred are going over some campaign slogans. I don't know. He's like, "Hey, man, I got the best writer in town to help me out with my campaign." And he's like, "You know, Archie, also, I heard you're going to come to the announcement, which is going to be great. I'm so excited. Like, I'm so happy you'll be there." Uh-oh.
Yeah, not setting himself up for disappointment at all.
And so back with Darla, we see that she's like, "You know, I was just like picking up my car, getting ready to head out of town when Chick called me up." And you know, I knew exactly what he was doing the whole time, like trying to fish for information about Dwayne. You know, she's like, "You know, look, that guy, total piece of shit. I don't care about him at all. But he did owe me $10,000. So let's just say if I was able to get that $10,000, I would have no reason to stick around town or go to the sheriff or anything." So she like totally knows what's happening. She's like on it, like a just
She's a
slut.
businesswoman. She sees an opportunity. She's going for it.
Queen.
Queen. And
So
when they
they.
suck at acting normal too, they're just like, she's, yeah, like, oh, like drinking tea. Like they keep shooting eyes at each other. Like, oh, you know, I heard about that murder. They're just like, oh, like they just, she, yeah,
Like.
they're not playing it cool at all.
Yeah. So anyway, they're like, Alice is just like, "Okay, fine." Like, she's going along with it. She's like, "Look, if you need the money, I'll go to the bank and get it for you. No problem." But she's like, "Okay, well, we'll send Betty out to go to the bank for us." And like, Alice is giving her, like, Betty these looks. And Betty's like, "Well, the bank doesn't open until the morning, Mom." And Alice is like, "You fucking idiot.
Ew.
Like, get help. Like, do something."
Right. But
And
mom, the bank doesn't open till 9 8.
Alice, like, the
What
look on her face is like, "God damn
do I do?
it."
She's like, I'm with Chick and Betty who can't
So Darla's like,
figure
looks like we're gonna have to
it
play some board games. Fuck."
out.
Anyway, later that evening, we see Archie. He's locking Veronica home when they enter and they hear a struggle. Andre is wrestling with a masked man with a hammer, and Archie flashes back to the black hood. He chases him down. They struggle. But when he pulls the mask, I'm like, "Who is that?" We see that it's Agent Adams.
Was like, who is this guy? I've never seen him before this episode. And they were hinting at something being off. Like he'd have shifty eyes when things were happening. But yeah, when they pulled the hood off, I'm like, who? And Archie has to say, oh, it's Adams. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You.
Even I couldn't tell, because like usually Adams has like one of those like 1950s hats and he's like, "Oh, you see, like I'm with the FBI." But without his
Right.
hat, I'm like,
I
"Who is this guy?"
Yeah, no, it's like who? Oh, you. Oh, okay. I guess betrayal.
And like, yeah, I think I wrote like, you know, he's one of Hermione's capos, because it took me like 2 weeks to do this episode, you guys.
Yeah.
So my notes were like a little disjointed. I guess we saw Adams earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
But I'm like, he's double crossed the lodges.
Exactly. He says, tell your boss to take the deal, and then he runs away.
Yeah. And after he punches Archie in the face and he's like, roll. I love it because he's like rolling around and he's like, "Oh, my face." And he's like not bleeding, but he's acting like, "Oh, there's blood on it."
Oh, hurts so bad.
Well, Archie is filling in the lodge is what happened. And they're like, "How long could Adams have been working against us?" Hiram ponders the situation and he goes, "With Andre hurt, we're virtually unprotected. For now on, they're on lockdown mode. They run the campaign from the Pembroke. Veronica comes home straight home after, I'm sorry, Veronica comes home straight after school. But is this a long-term solution? Who knows? What can they do?" Hiram seems lost. he doesn't have a solution. And he's always got a plan. I'm like, this is like the first time you see Hiram totally up the creek without a paddle.
Right, that's very true. Yeah, he's very, it's the first time you see him being really desperate and worried that they don't have anyone else. Like literally he has Archie, and
Yeah.
that's not there's
So we cut now, it's like the next morning, and Betty is getting ready to go to the bank. So she's getting ready to part, and Alice again is giving her this look. She's like, okay, go to the bank and get the money, right? And Darla, not seeing this, grabs Betty and she's like, you better go straight there and come right back here, you hear? And I love this. So we go to the Blossoms, and Penelope is like yelling at Nana Rose like a dog for some reason. She's like, you've been fed and you've been allowed to use the bathroom. I'm going out of town or like running my hooker business or something. So don't make any trouble. And if you have to go, make it in your pants. And I'm like, oh my God.
I know, it's so cruel.
And I don't know if like Nana Rose is like drugged out or something. Like she's very, I think she got pushed down the stairs, but I don't know if they're like sedating her.
Oh yeah, medicated. Yeah, good point.
It
I
like
wrote, why
she.
are the blossoms so weird?
No. If she turns on like this 70-inch TV for her, like, or not, sorry, a 70s TV, like with the
Yeah.
knobs, it's like 5 inches big. She's like
Black and
watching
white.
Bob Ross painting videos or something.
Yep.
And then like Nana, who's like all drugged up, like realizes what's going on and like collapses on the ground as she's crawling to get to the phone and get some help. Now back at the school, we see Tony being called into the principal's office. And like it's Nana Rose on the other line with a cryptic message. Cheryl's not studying abroad. She's at the Sisters of Silence. As the phone goes dead, we see Claudius on the other side of the line cutting the phone wire. Back at the bank, we see Betty's got the money. Just then, she receives a call from Alice, who tells her, "Betty, don't come home. There's another one. There's two people here now." The man who attacked Chick at this hostel is now there. She's like, don't come anywhere near the home, for there's grave, grave danger awaiting here.
I wrote party at the Coopers. I think you can see in the background they're like have the bag of chips open or like scarfing it down and drinking beers and
Ooh. So we go back to the cheer practice. Tony's filling Veronica in about the call. She's like, it's so weird because Nana Rose told me that Cheryl's at her sister's place or something. And they're like, that's weird because Cheryl doesn't have a sister. Like, could you mean the Sisters of Quiet Mercy? And they're like, do they have a gay conversion therapy thing there? And Veronica's like, I don't know, but I think I know who would know. And they go to Kevin, and Kevin's like, oh yeah, they totally got one of that. Like, it's one of the few disgusting places that they still do conversion therapy. And so Kev like starts telling him about the history of the place. And he's like, okay, listen. So the Sisters of Quiet Mercy, all the nuns there are massive alcoholics. Like they love making booze, and they would smuggle it out during Prohibition. So they have these underground tunnels. And a lot of the gay guys, they'll go down there and have secret hookups, make out with people, the boys in the town. So they wonder, they're like, could we use this secret gay hookup tunnel to rescue Cheryl? I'm like, this is all in their words, actually, by the
Yeah,
way.
it is verbatim.
Secret gay hookup tunnel.
I love it when they just like call something like they don't like try and come up with a clever name for it. They're just like, that's a secret gay hookup tunnel. Like
Yeah.
that's what it is.
Well, we see back at the Coopers, Betty has returned home. Not heeding her mother's warning of grave, grave danger. So she pays off the people. She pays them off, but they're not quite ready to leave just yet. They're like, hey, I'm getting pretty used to this house. Like, I mean, it's got a functioning toilet and everything. They're
Why
like,
leave?
I think we could get real cozy in here. When suddenly the door is kicked in. Luckily, Jug has rallied the serpents, and they're ready to make some trouble. They whip out their switchblade. They're like, why don't you two leave before the situation gets a little worse? And Dyla's like, we'll go running off to the sheriff if you guys make trouble. But Betty, feeling pretty confident in the situation, she's like, that's not gonna happen. Like, all the evidence has basically been washed away at this point. If we were gonna hear anything, there would have been some news. So I think they're like pretty clear out of the woods at this point, which totally could not be true. Like, they don't announce that stuff on the
Right. I think they say something like, we're friends with the sheriff's son. So I don't, I'm like, that's not really that big of a,
But they're like, oh, the Coopers are a reputable sort. Like, they're like one of the
that's
most
right.
renowned families in town. So
Yeah.
they're not going to listen to like good drug addicts and all the you guys. Anyway.
Yeah. From Centerville or wherever they're from.
So they take the money and run, which, okay, they should have kept the money.
Yeah.
Anyway, this whole thing's kind of wrapped up, and Jug's like, sorry for kicking in your door, by the way. Like, I easily could have opened it, but it was way cooler.
I literally wrote, way to break the door. Oh, okay. Jughead apologizes. Because I noticed that too. I was like, oh, you had to kick down my front
Like,
door. Thanks.
so Alice like thanks the serpent, she thanks the serpents, and she's like, okay, like I'm not gonna write any more terrible articles about you. Like, I'm so sorry for the whole thing. Like, you guys are actually pretty cool. And she looks at Betty and she's like, Betty, I should have been listening to you this whole time. Like, I didn't want to listen, but chick, you're like a dangerous lunatic who's put us in danger twice now, and it's time for you to leave. Which chick like actually accepts this, and I'm like, oh no, not chick,
Yeah.
free chick.
Chick. I wrote, you've been telling me something I didn't want to hear, but chick sucks. Get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
Um,
Just
right.
go.
So anyway, back we see Archie at the lodges. He's escorted Veronica home when Hiram summons him, and he's like, look, okay, I've made my decision. Like, I have no choice but to pay off Lenny and Carl. He's not gonna risk his family's safety. When Archie, like, his phone like starts going off, and he's like, look, maybe wait just a little longer to make your decision. But it's like, looks like Archie's got an idea, and I'm like, Archie, don't, or Hiram, don't do it. Don't listen to Archie. Well, the phone call is actually coming from his mom at the campaign announcement, and Archie is not going to show up, which breaks Fred's heart, but he rationalizes it. Like, he's like, I get it. He's a busy student. He's got his friends to hang out with. Like, I'm like, Archie, you asshole.
One thing you could have done, show up for your dad, and he didn't do it
And so Archie's
because you're
like,
helping a drug lord do it or whatever.
right. And we see Archie instead. So instead of going to the campaign, then he's meeting Reggie at Pop's. In like, he's like, we need to stand together to stop the Kowalskis. And he asks Reggie whose side he's on. He's like, I want to stop. I hate Southside, basically. So he likes the prison, basically. But he's like, I don't want to work with you, Archie, because I hate you. So Archie says, look, if you help me out in this situation, you get the bulldog vote for president. So Reggie agrees. And I'm like, yep, yeah, you shouldn't have listened to Archie, because now he's like a bunch of junior high football players are now like, you're gonna be fighting a bunch of armed gangsters. This is about as Archie of a plan as you could get. So we go to the Pembroke, and Veronica and Tony are like, they're meeting for a late night rendezvous. They're ready to make some trouble. So we go back and we see Cheryl, and she's continuing her sack moving punishment. Outside the Swisters, Kevin, Tony, and Veronica are meeting with flashlights. They enter this rusty door. They're traveling through a sewer system. They're going to search every room and look for Cheryl. Well, looking great while doing it. Like,
Oh, right. Like skin tight body suits, pearls. Yeah,
yeah.
they
Veronica's like in
didn't
some
miss the
kind of
opportunity.
dress with like her breasts like pushed, they're like popping out.
Yeah, they did like a big, like, I don't know what they would call it, but like when she, like a pan up from like her feet to up, like
Yeah.
up her body, to show it off. I'm like, okay.
And they're wearing like boots or something,
High
not like high
heel
heels.
boots.
Yeah, exactly. So, at the same time, we see like they're running around searching the nunnery for Cheryl. Well, Cheryl watches a movie. She's tearfully watching movie night, like just crying. When Tony opens the door, coming to the rescue, her baby's there for there. Cheryl runs up. They embrace and they kiss for the first time. Ew.
I was like, are there no guards? Like,
I know. Veronica
but
comes
yeah,
in, but they
it's.
have no time. The nuns are coming. The alarms start to blare. Every passage is cut off, but they reach the exit at the last moment,
This
making
actually
their.
was a really sorry.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say this actually was like a scary scene. Like the nuns are just It's like one of those scenes where like the Cheryl and Tony and Veronica are running, and the nuns aren't really running, but they're still gaining on them. Like they're still moving quickly, and like I actually was like my heart was like racing during it. It was very. I wrote, "Fuck the buns, scary."
I know, they make it out of the door like the last second, and we see like
Just the last second.
the
Yep.
door
Yeah.
like
Put the.
banging.
Yeah. It's very. It was a really scary
It's like a
scene.
scene
They
like
did a
out
good
of like
job
The
with that.
Village or something. What is that movie? Like, yeah.
Yeah,
Village
just or
with
it's
these
like
like
oh
creepy nuns in the fog with flashlights or lanterns.
yeah, totally.
Well, anyway, we cut back to this Italian restaurant. Lenny and Carl are wondering where Hiram is when their waiter approaches. Hiram sends his regards, but he won't be able to make it that night. So they go outside, and he's like, "Oh yeah, go outside and check your car also." So they go out,
Also.
and the car explodes as they approach it. A group of masked men approach. This is a message from the Dark Circle. Hiram in Riverdale is protective. Leave while you can. And I'm like, "Ooh, Archie's in this deep."
Oh, well, I love it because his voice is kind of masks, like there's some kind of tech, you know, there's some kind of scrambling going on. So it's he's supposed to be under disguise, but his eyes are visible. And you can just totally tell it's him. Like it's very obvious that it's Archie. And
Yeah.
if they were the gangsters, they would I would think they would recognize him. But yeah, I was like, isn't exploding a car like super illegal? But
Yeah.
oh
I think they've done this a few times. I don't know how like often the football
well.
team like is used to blowing up cars.
At this point, they have it down.
So the next morning, like Mary goes up to Archie and she's like, "You could, where were you last night? What was so important you can show up for your father?" And Archie's like, "Well, I was out blowing up cars, mom, so like leave me alone." She goes like, "Archie used to worship your father, like used to play like music with him, and now like used to hang out with Jughead and Betty. Like now I don't see you guys with your friends anymore. Like what's going on? I don't even recognize you. Who are you, Archie?" she asks. So we see Alice back, like she's at the meeting of the serpents, like the serpent group. And I think, yeah, this is where she was like, "Okay, I'm not gonna like attack you anymore. Like I'm done attacking this outside. Like, it's my home and I'm proud of it." And they're like, "We're gonna fight tooth and nail for you guys." And we cut, like, in the same moment, we see Alice approaching FP's trailer and knocking on the door. As the door closes behind her, it's like,
Well,
uh-oh.
she's so she says she's gonna embrace. I don't know if she says it, but she's it's like I'm gonna embrace her south side. So she's got eyeliner on. She's got cleavage for days, dark lipstick. She looks hot to trot, and yeah, she opens the door. No words are spoken. FP or sorry, FP opens the door. She waltzes in. He
Woo!
closes the door,
Hubba
and
hubba.
hubba hubba.
So, and now we go, I don't know, like now we go to Pops. So Archie is meeting the lodges, and they're like, he's like, "Wow, like what a great new car." And they're like, "Yeah, and it's yours." So, like, I don't know, whatever. They basically, like, they're as a
Yeah.
reward for Archie being an idiot, they got him like a nice new hot rod.
For being an idiot. Yeah. He's blinded by the high life, baby.
Yeah, I mean,
He's in deep.
and like, I don't know, I forget if maybe it was like season one, but like, I think him and his dad were working on like building up a jalopy, and now he's got like this car. So it's like, building up a piece of shit car with his dad, or like getting paid off by the rich gangsters, like.
Yeah. There's definitely he. There's a look, like a flash that crosses his face of like, oh, should I take this? Like, if I accept it, I'm, you know, beholden to the lodges. Like, there's just like a moment where you could tell he's just like kind of teetering on the edge of like, oh, this is like, I'm in deep with these guys, but they're all so excited for him. And Ronnie's like, yeah, baby, we can drive. You can
Like,
drive
say
me
yes,
anywhere. And
baby, say
yeah, say
yes.
yes. Yeah, exactly. And so he grabs the keys and off they
Yeah.
go.
I think Hiram pulls him aside first and he's like, blowing up that car is the very definition of a short-term solution.
Yeah.
The Kowalskis are not going to come back for like 25% of the prison. They're going to want everything,
Right.
basically.
Right.
Which is like, but Archie's like, "Yeah, okay, I know that." Which, okay, if that's what they're in for.
Yeah. All I could think was like, I hope that he's doing all this stuff for the lodges and like not being there for his family for protection. I guess in a weird way it is for protecting his family because he wants like the black hood and you know he's worried about his dad's safety and everyone's safety. But yeah, it's just very yeah, short-term solution to a big problem that he's now created.
So finally we cut back to the school. Tony or Cheryl is back in her place, and Tony's like, "Hey, Cheryl, like, what's coming up next for you? Like, what are you gonna do?" And she goes, "Oh, revenge. It's definitely revenge." But she's like,
100%. Everyone's gonna pay.
exactly. So she goes, but more importantly, I need to ask Kevin about something. So she goes, Kevin, I know we got the musical Carrie, the musical coming up. So cancel all auditions because I clearly am Carrie White in this school is gonna burn with
Oh.
grave consequences. Riverdale.
Riverdale.
Oh my
Nailed
God.
it. Woo. So
Woo.
it sounds like a musical episode is next up. Jenny will be back for that. You guys
Oh my
will.
God. Jenny was like, do not cover the Riverdale, the musical episode without me.
It's mine. Yeah,
Come back
I knew when I
for
had to.
show tunes and singing and dancing.
Get ready for it.
Oh,
Well, great job, Pat. There was a lot here. And I just wanted to say, as a parting words, just thank you so much. I am so impressed by you and Jenny. You guys, this is not easy. It's not easy to be talking and recapping shows and coming up with jokes. And like, you guys do such a great job. So I just wanted to
well,
take a moment to give you your flowers and to say it's,
thank
as a
you.
listener, I think you do a great job. And now that I see what it takes, it's, I'm even more
Thank you.
amazed
Thank
by
you.
your
Yeah.
beauty.
Gorgeousness. Thank you. More praise,
Yeah.
please. Shower it
Yeah,
on.
it
No, thank you. It's fun. I think the, you try to write these scripts and like make jokes, but I think you're feeding off a lot of the person's energy too. And it's like half the stuff I come up with, it's
Right.
on the spot, or the best moments come from something you say. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's interesting.
Aw,
Yeah.
spontaneous. Yeah, cool. Well, thanks, Pat.
I know
Great job.
we both appreciate it, me and Jenny filling in.
Aw,
And you're always
yeah,
welcome
anytime.
back.
Okay, I'll be here next week. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
You're fired.
All
Just kidding. All
right.
right. Well, you know
Should
what?
we? Should we?
Yeah, let's do it. You know what happens when you step on a serpent? It
It bites
bites
back.
back. Ksss.
I got it right.
You nailed it.